everybody, and welcome to episode 200 and 301 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Huznes. Before I get to all the crap I've been watching and playing, I want to remind everyone that there is a lot of art now available in the print store, which you can find a link to right on the website. And if you want to support the site by just, you know, showing your love with a few bucks every month, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and, you know, become a patron of this here site and podcast and all that jazz. It's been a crazy week. We just got off of the RNC and are now in the DNC. I don't want to get too political, but there's part of me that just can't help it, because I've never been more terrified that Donald Trump could become our president. And I believe, without a question, without any doubt, that if Trump somehow became president, if he somehow won, it would be entirely the fault of the Bernie or bust bros, because it is... I firmly believe them, whether they choose to not vote at all, which is awful, or if they choose to vote for a third party, which I understand wanting to vote for someone who you believe in, but the way the system works right now, it's a two-party system. Am I a fan of that? No, I hate the two-party system. I don't want a three-party system. I want a no-party system. I want a system where you don't have, you know, certain party members. You just have candidates. You just have people who are hopefully qualified for the job, and you vote for someone who you think is the most qualified. But that's not going to happen overnight. And to be all high and mighty and stubborn, this is not the time for that, because Donald Trump is a disaster. I don't think he would be able to do this, because it's not as simple, but I firmly believe that Donald Trump ideally would love to turn America into North Korea. That's what he wants. That's what he wants this country to become. When you listen to him talk, that is exactly what he wants. And yet, I don't know. I look at it and I think, dear God, these millennials don't understand how anything works. One, the reason why they all loved Bernie is because he was offering them everything and offering it all to them for free. And that was not going to happen. Bernie was not going to be able to do a lot of what he said he was going, like what he wanted to do. Free college for everyone. I'm not against that. I think the educational system is incredibly broken. The fact that we place so much importance on education, and then what people get when they get their education is a crap load of debt, and the only thing to show for it is a degree, which feels like it's becoming less and less important these days, unless it's for certain jobs. And education just seems like, oh, well, whatever. It's a nice piece of paper you got there. But getting free education for everyone's not going to work. I mean, the president is not all-powerful and can't just do whatever they want, which I think a lot of young people don't realize for some reason. And I'm basing this off of my time talking to various young people who don't have any awareness of what's going on with their state and city's representatives, their senators, and those races. I mean, to start a revolution, as they all want, and I'm not saying I'm against or anything, but it doesn't just start and end with the presidency. And I get really upset over the people who refer to Hillary as like the devil, and like she is just as bad as Donald Trump. I don't understand how people can see that. To me, the worst case scenario with Hillary, because I'm not a huge Hillary fan. I don't love her. But the worst case scenario is that she becomes president, and over the next 4 years, we don't see any progress. Things stay exactly the way they've been over these past 8 years. You know, there's no change. And is that really so bad? I don't think so. Ideally, we should always be progressing. We should always be moving forward. We should always be getting better. That is true. I'm not saying that isn't the case, but to say going nowhere is better than going centuries in the past, just like destroying the country with someone like Trump potentially, it's just like I don't get it. But yeah, whatever. That's as political as I'm going to get. But a funny thing happened this past week. Actually, yesterday, I got an email from LinkedIn, as I typically do, with someone asking to be invited to make a connection or whatever. And I just saw the name, and I thought, oh, it's just another fake person, or somebody who's like, oh, there's no reason why they should be requesting an invitation to connect with me, because we are not in the same industry at all. But then I clicked through and I saw the picture and I was like, oh my god, this is who it is. And it's someone I went to school with at both Wright and Columbia. And the funny thing is, I immediately remembered a song that this person particularly doesn't like because of the name they go by. I still have it stuck in my head. It's Magic, you know? Never Believe It's Not. So, but it was just very amusing for me. And I saw the song stuck in my head, and I wish it wasn't stuck in my head, because it's an annoying song. And I can only imagine how annoying it is for her, especially if she's still getting it. But that was a nice little pleasant surprise. It was like, oh, great, another spammy thing from LinkedIn. And then I clicked it, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's not spam. I actually know this person. Very lovely young lady who seems to be doing well, so good for her. And I hope things continue to go very well for her. But yeah, crazy week. A lot of trailers came out from SDCC. I'm super excited for Legion. The Wonder Woman trailer has me excited. A very, you know, in a way, Captain America First Avenger vibe, and that it's going back to World War One. I don't know. World War something. I didn't pay attention enough. It's just a world war. And then the Justice League trailer, which I liked overall, but I really, really, really cannot stand Flash's outfit. It just looks like a mess. It looks like something Rob Liefeld would design. It just looks overly complicated, and like there are so many pieces to it. It's just like, this is too much. What is this mess? And then the last trailer I remember really sticking out is for Doctor Strange, which I'm super excited for because I'm a fan of the standalone superhero movies in general that focus on a character or a few, as opposed to these big old team-ups. And Doctor Strange is a character I actually know literally nothing about. So I'm excited for that. But yep. Nothing else really happening this week. Because it's just been so much politics. And I don't want to talk too much about that. And I already got enough off of my chest there. But yeah, now it's time for some anime and some video games.
Fake all the way.
so happy this week. So happy because I am finally done with the exhausting nature, the exhaustingness, the incredibly tiring thing that is going through a brand new season as it's starting and watching everything as much as I can, the first episode or two, and trying to get a taste of it all. I've dropped, I think, half or over half of the shows I've watched this season, and there are a few that are still on the bubble. But it feels good because I typically am a bit too stubborn. I've mentioned this before, but don't have that much to talk about this week because I covered most of what I've watched in the past few episodes. So I'm very relaxed, not as flustered or as scatterbrained. But before I hit the big show I've been watching, catching up on, I'll just talk about the two shows of this season that I have watched: Battery and Cheers Danshi, otherwise known as Cheer Boys. These are two shows that are on the bubble. I've only seen two episodes of them. And yeah, so Battery is a sports anime. It's about baseball. This, and I think they're still in elementary school. They're like in what would be junior high, I think, even though they don't look it, or they're freshmen in high school. Either way, they don't look their age. At least I don't think they do. But you have this all-star pitcher who is transferring or moving on to a new school, and then he meets this kid from a neighborhood who is a catcher, and he's able to catch his fastball. This pitcher is like a prodigy. He's an amazing pitcher. And the catcher is actually the son of a woman, the mother of the pitcher, went to school with back in the day. And the first two episodes are just kind of them getting to know each other, pitching, catching, and just like, oh, this guy could be my catcher. You know, he can handle me well. We have a good rapport. But not much has really happened. And the main dude, the pitcher, is really kind of unlikable. I don't like him because he gets agitated very easily. Takumi? He's just very, very full of himself, very cocky, doesn't really listen well, thinks he knows everything. And I just don't like that as a character, even though I think there are things in his past that may come to light as the series continues. Because we got a little bit of that in the second episode when he was very concerned about his younger brother and didn't want him to play ball for whatever reason. Tell him he would never be able to do it. Was very mean in that sense. but he still showed that he cared because he was very concerned about his brother when his brother got lost and all this stuff. But I don't know. It's been kind of boring so far, and I was expecting more of the animation because it's from Kyoto Animation, I believe. And I just, maybe there will be some stuff later on, but so far it has been really boring and visually not that great. No, never mind. It is 0G. So I apologize to Kyoto Animation because Kyoto Animation is quite good. And nothing against this. This isn't bad. It's just from Kyoto, who's done stuff like Hibiki Euphonium and K-On!, etc. I think they did Phantom World too. Meriem no Phantom World. This is not on that par. And then Cheer Boys. It's another sports-esque anime, but this one is about male cheerleaders. And it could be okay. It seems like the first half of the season is really just going to be introducing new characters to the team. But I don't know. It's just not doing anything for me. And I'm not against sports anime. But this one is really not doing much at all for me. The only thing I really like about the show is who is it? He's the 20-year-old who was held back in high school or whatever. What's his name? I think it's Tomo. He's just kind of funny because he has an incredibly deep voice. He's very monotone. He's very serious. And it was funny watching him get drunk. But other than that, I can't say there's much. It's very forgettable. And the characters aren't unlikable, but they don't have enough personality for me so far. It's only two episodes, so they could add more, but, you know, I'm going to watch one more episode, and if it doesn't grab me in that with that, then I'm just going to drop it, even though it could turn out to be really good, or at least okay, but it's another show for me. And then the last show I want to talk about is Bakuman, which is an older show, something that's done. It's had three seasons of 25 episodes each. I am 10 episodes into the second season now, and I'm really liking it. So, Bakuman is about manga artists and writers and creators, and it follows. You get a lot of side stories, but it follows two characters in particular, Mashiro and Takagi, and they team up in, I believe, at the end of elementary school or grammar. I always forget what it's called, like their version of junior high. I don't think it's called elementary school, but they team up then, and what really convinces Mashiro to do it is that he's had a huge crush on this girl in his school for a very, very long time, Miho. And the way, and I think Takagi knows this because it's probably him looking at her and stuff, he gets Mashiro to go to her house, and he tells Miho that he's going to be a manga artist. And then she gets so excited and thinks it's so cool. And then Mashiro is like, yeah, I'm going to be one too. I'm going to do the art, and he's going to do the writing. And she gets so excited, and he's just like, oh, this is awesome. And then he just blurts out, if I become a success or whatever, will you marry me? And she agrees to it. And it follows these two characters as they're, and she says, you know, she really wants to be a voice actress, and they agree that when they both achieve their dreams, they'll get married. But until then, they can't see each other or do anything at all. They can only text because they're kids and they don't. They're just like, whatever. They're very optimistic and silly. But it follows these characters as they're trying to get a manga created and get serialized and make a profession out of it. The troubles of it all and stuff in the industry with assistants and just managing time between that and school, being these young kids, trying to come up with ideas and going through contests and all this stuff, and how they're striving for the dream. You know, one is doing it in a large part to be with this girl he loves, and the other one just really loves manga. And I mean, Mashiro also loves manga. But it's been a really, really good show with a lot of characters. I mean, there are a lot of characters, and all of them are likable too. I mean, some are a little bit crazy. What is the name of the little kooky, the kooky boy? the kooky little monkey boy. Where is he? I can't even see him in this stupid. Nizuma? Aiji Nizuma, he has grown on me, but he was really annoying in the beginning because he screams a lot, especially in the very beginning. He was screaming crow all the time because that just got him inspired to make his manga, which has now become an anime. But he was like a monkey boy. He was like George of the Jungle or Tarzan before being civilized. And it was just a bit ridiculous. I have to give mad props to the voice actor because I'm not sure who it was. Let me see. Nobuhiko Okamoto did a fantastic job. Like, that's not an easy role to take to do. So I give massive props to him. It's just a really good show. I think it does a really good job of portraying the manga industry and how hard it is and how much work goes into it and how much devotion you have to go to it and how quickly something you're working on, something you love, can just completely falter and you have to start over and try something new. And if not, you're just going to end up potentially being a career-long assistant and stuff like that. I just kind of passed a very dark arc in the story, and I still don't know how I feel about it and how everyone reacted and all that, but I highly recommend checking it out. I don't know if it's available on Crunchyroll or anything like that, but I've been watching it on Hulu, so if you have Hulu, you can check it out there. I'm assuming it's a free show with commercials if you don't have a regular membership or anything, but I definitely recommend checking it out. It's really, really well done. And it looks good for an older show. Not that much older, but, 5+ years old. I really like it. I think it does a good job of portraying the industry, like I said, and doesn't get too crazy over the top. It's a true portrayal of all that. And I think even though the love story kind of annoys me in that, I think it's ridiculous. Just see each other. And there was a reason why they got to see each other, which I won't spoil. But I understand it. They're still young. And while they've gotten older, they just recently graduated high school. And that's one thing I will say that's a little bit annoying is the passage of time, especially in the second season. I feel like so much time has passed and so little time of actual anime and episodes. But it hasn't been too jarring. It's just kind of been noticeable now. But it's good. I like it. And it's impressive that they've introduced so many characters and haven't annoyed me with any of them. Even if I initially look at someone and I'm like, I don't know about you, they always grow on me, or they always are like, oh, I had the wrong idea of you. So that's pretty cool. And it's a meaty show, so if you got super into it, it's a total 75 episodes across 3 seasons. So I definitely recommend checking out Bakuman. It looks like we have a very likely idea of what the Nintendo NX will be, and from what I've read, it appears like they took my advice. Yeah, they took my advice. But that the system will be a portable device, first and foremost, that you can hook up to your TV, which is what I've been saying for months and months was what I believe the only real option for it to be a success. Because if they try to compete with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, especially with the release of the NX coming out in early 2017, and the Neo to compete with the more powerful PS4, and the upcoming Scorpio, the significantly more powerful Xbox One, it would just be another Wii U situation, and that would just be a disaster, I think. So this makes a lot more sense, and it makes me wonder, and I get the feeling that this is true, that this is the case, that Nintendo will be completely, that the Wii U is going to be their last fully home-dedicated console, that they're not going to ever release another home-only console, that it's all going to be handheld hybrids or stuff like that, that they're not going to release anything that you can only play at home. Because I think the handheld market is still alive. I don't think anyone can compete with Nintendo in that market. And I think a lot of their games work well as portable games. You know, from Pokemon to Animal Crossing to your Mario games. And Zelda may feel more at home, but if you can just put it on the TV when you are at home and then take it with you, that's great. Kirby, great on handhelds. And from the accounts of this, it seems to be a lot like the, what is it? The Razer Shield, I believe it's called. I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but they basically said it seems to be a screen with two physical controller components that you can remove. So I'm assuming it's going to be like, maybe an iPad mini in size, maybe smaller, and then controllers that will make it feel more like a regular controller and not just, I don't know. Well, all I know at this point, really, because these are all rumors, but there's a lot of them out there that are saying the same thing, is that I can't wait to see what this is, and apparently we'll be seeing it in September, so I'm excited to see what the console actually looks like. Because now that we apparently know, I'm not sure anything's been confirmed, so I don't want to say for sure, because who knows what might happen, or, maybe everyone's wrong. Big old switcheroo. I just want to see what it looks like, because that's got me quite interested. That bit of news just came out and has me excited. But other than that, let's just get on to what I've been playing. And I've been playing quite a bit. I've been dabbling in a lot of stuff. I recently got a good chunk of codes for some games. And I can happily say I don't think I dislike any of these games, which is pretty cool and rare for me. I'll first talk about the game I purchased for myself, which is Hitman. And I've been wanting to play this game forever after hearing a lot of great things about it. I did play the beta for a little bit on PS4, and I thought, this feels a lot like Blood Money, which is my favorite Hitman game, and the one I wish Absolution was, but then that was more of this. It felt way more linear, and I was just like, what is this? This isn't the Hitman I love. But I wasn't excited about Hitman because of the way it was being released, these episodic releases and having to wait for a physical release. The real problem with it is that I have a legitimate problem buying something digitally when I know a physical copy exists or will exist, because I'm still someone who prefers physical media. I still don't trust digital stuff, digital only things, like Project Spark, which is, I think, being taken down completely in August. You can't download it. You haven't been able to download it for a few months, but I think it's officially being taken down, and you won't be able to play it or access it very soon. But cases like that are with Xbox Fitness, where it's this thing, and they're just gonna get rid of it. I like having the physical, even though there was a physical release for Project Spark, and it was really just a download. I think it was just, here is a starter pack with a bunch of coins and crap like that, but nothing that is really in need of a physical release. But anyway, I ended up picking up Hitman when it went on sale at Best Buy during their little Black Friday in July thing, which was a weird promotion because I think it went out in three waves, and I saw all three waves because I'm an Elite Plus member or whatever the highest thing is. So I got it this one day, and it said it was a day only thing, and I was like, okay, cool, I'll check all these things out. What am I interested in? And I got what was interested in. Then I got another email that said, for my Best Buy members, you can access this for, I think, 2 days. It was like the 22nd and 23rd or whatever. And I was like, oh, they made it longer. And then it was another email that just said it was like going on through the 25th or something. And I was like, how is this thing just going to keep going on? And I think the way it was run out is that they open it first exclusively for their best, their quote-unquote best elite members, and then they rolled it out to my Best Buy members, and then they rolled it out to all Best Buy users, consumers. But anyway, to the point, I'm just going all around the actual game. I picked up Hitman, the collector's edition, with tax and everything, around $75, which for me is a lot. And that's saying something about my love for the franchise and my belief in it from what I've heard and the little I played. So I picked that up, which came with a digital copy of the game. So it wasn't a pre-order or anything. It comes with a digital code for the game, as well as a very nice statue, which is why I was like, you know what, I'm willing to pay, you know, $15 or whatever to get, you know, in addition to just say $60 for the games and then $15 for a really, really nice statue, which is it's near the scale of something like the Reach statue. It's not as intricate because there's only one character, Agent 47, and not your whole team of four. But it's fairly large. It's really well done. It's nice. I like the pose. I'm a fan of Agent 47 and his look and everything about him, so I'm really happy with it. I was surprised by how nice it looked, even though I watched some videos beforehand. And then other than that, it came with a red tie, of course, and then a tie clip and an art book, which was better than usual art book in that it was about 8x10 in size, as opposed to the usual 5x7, the size of a case, basically. And it's nice. It's a little bit thicker. It's probably twice as thick as your typical art book that comes with special editions. So I'm pretty happy with all of that stuff. And then I've played the game quite a bit, and I'm really happy with the game. It is Blood Money, really. It is the sequel to Blood Money that I, and I think everyone who loved that game, wanted. The areas after the first two tutorial levels are very big. They are significantly bigger than any of the levels I remember from Blood Money. I think maybe one level that might be on par would be the, was it New Orleans level? The Mardi Gras level where you can dress up as the little, what was it? Was it a bird? But they're fairly large. So large that during one hit, I was walking around this area, and it was already a big area, and I was looking for someone, and I couldn't find them. And then I looked it up online, and then I realized, wait, there's a whole other section of this area. And I went to a part of there, and then I just turned around, because I'm like, there's probably nothing over there. I'm sure that it might just be like a dead end, and I didn't go any further, because I just figured I'm basing it off my previous experiences. And then I looked, and I was like, wait, no, there's so much more to this level. And that was the level with the villa, and then there's a church on there, which is the level where you kill Gary Busey, because they have these special hits, and I remember people talking about it, and they have a specific target. You can only play them once, and you can replay them before you quit out or complete it, but once you finish them, you get your score, you get some experience, and then you're done. You can't go back to them, which I hope there's like a way to go back to them later down the road or something, because I want to kill Gary Busey again. And it would suck if they did all this stuff and made a model of Gary Busey and had him say all these crazy things during the game. Because he sang a song when I went over and killed him, and it was the stupidest song in the world, but I'm sure they have a bunch of dumb dialogue like that. But if it's impossible to ever experience that again, it would really suck. And I don't understand why they only let you play it once. I could see them only allowing you to play it once for the leaderboards and all that, but I think it would be nice if you could just mess around in the world after you've completed your first go at it. But I've finished what story is there. There are only three maps out now and three more to come. And I just really like it. It's nice. It runs really well. I'm playing on Xbox One. Feels good. There's a lot to do. There are a lot of different options. And you can go about it in a way that is very kind of handholdy if you're new to the franchise or if you just want a lot of direction, or you can play it really, really open-ended and just experiment for yourself without any direction, which is something I really like. And they added a special mission in an area where they turned it into a movie set and it started taking place at night. And that really changed the way the level felt, which was super nice. But I'm really enjoying it. I feel bad that there are only 6 levels, even though they're all, I'm assuming that the following 3 are going to be fairly large as well. But that's a little bit disappointing when I look at something like Blood Money, and I think that had about 13 or so. I think I had roughly double as many. And I don't know if I would rather have more small levels or if I'd like this big one, because there is something nice about having such a huge area that allows you to really try a whole bunch of different things. But yeah, I'm just really enjoying it. And what I think would be awesome is if when everything is released and the game is complete, the game as, you know, as they thought it out with these 6 areas and all that. And I will just say the story, I don't care. I'm like, whatever, no big deal. But it would be awesome if this just became a platform and they just released new areas, you know, monthly or every other month for $10 a piece. I would buy them every single time. And I think a lot of people would be on board with that, and you know, maybe make a season pass or whatever. I don't care. Like, I would be on if this just became the Hitman platform, because it's called Hitman. It's not Hitman colon whatever. It's not some sequel. It's just, it's sort of like a reboot, and I think it could work really well as just a blanket platform for the franchise where they just continuously release new areas and new hits. And oh yeah, before I finish my Hitman talk, there's also a contract creator that allows you to create your own hits, and you can have specific guidelines in place. Like you don't have to, I mean, they're always optional, but like an optional for bonus points: kill this person while disguised as this with this weapon or this type of like an accident, etc. And that is fun. You basically just play through a level like normal, and then you go into your little like detective mode, you tag someone, and then you kill them. And then when you can tag as many people as you want to. You can make it a very, very complicated hit. And once you're finished, you just exit the level like you usually do, and then you can post it online for people to play around with, which I think is awesome. It's another way to add longevity to the game. So I'm really happy with it. It's really well done. And I definitely would recommend people check it out, especially since not as many people are as standoffish towards online digital only games. And it's not a digital only game, but just buying games digitally, I'm still very iffy about it, especially a full price game. But I think it is worth the full price. I'm just somebody who's like, I'd rather pay that full price for a physical copy. But if you're somebody who's fully digital, it's definitely worth the money, I think. I'm happy with my purchase. So on to the other games I've played here and there. I got some codes. I got a code for We Happy Few for Xbox One. It just came out in the Xbox preview program. So unless that something has changed, you should all be able to check it out yourself for, I think it's an hour, the preview period. And I kind of don't want to talk too much about it because there's not that much story in it right now. I think the only story that exists is the prologue. My wire is stuck on my chair. And other than that, it's just sort of gameplay. But the story that exists in the very beginning, it grabbed my attention in just a few minutes and really got me invested in this world and what's happening, and has me excited for the game as it's being developed and wanting to see more of the story and the narrative. And yeah, I'm just like, what happens? I'm just like, oh, that's what this is. I'm like, because I stayed back because I knew I was interested in it. And after I experienced the thing that happens fairly early on, I was like, oh, I am in.
And then I just played some of the game, which is sort of like a survival exploration game in that you have to worry about eating, your thirst, sleeping, energy, etc. You have to worry about your clothing as well and stuff like that. I haven't run into any enemies at this point, but there's a good amount of just world just exploration and discovering new things and running into characters who have interesting things to say, and even the random bits of dialogue your character Arthur says expands his character and has me wondering more about this world. And I'm just excited to play some more of it. I only played it for a few hours, just kind of messing around and seeing what's going on. The only thing that really bugs me, because it is still an alpha that should be kept in mind, is that on the map, I don't see any way to set up a waypoint. So I have to keep opening up the map to make sure I'm going in the right direction to get to a certain objective or stuff like that. And I kind of just wish I could, you know, set a waypoint so I could just look at the little mini-map, which exists, or the directions up at the top. But I don't think it's available as a thing, but I definitely am intrigued by what I've played. I think it's going to be hopefully something very nice. And it's also a very pretty game. The textures are a bit lacking in a way, but I'm not sure if that's just because it's an alpha or because the Xbox One just isn't capable. But it has a very old vibe to it, in the same vein as something like the BioShock games. But I think the style of the characters and the art deco nature of it all and the art direction is the only real thing that feels super like BioShock. The story may eventually, but the gameplay is very different. It's not super combat heavy, at least not yet. And like I said, you have to really worry about your character's fatigue and hunger, thirst, etc. Then I have played a smidgen, an hour or two, of Headlander, which just came out, which is the Metroidvania-esque game from Double Fine Games, produce isn't the word, is it? No, it published, that's the one. I know it's a peep word. I know it's a peepee word. Oh, I said peepee. Published by Adult Swim Games, which is an interesting team up. And basically, the main mechanic of the game is you were on a spaceship that was crumbling down, and you are just this floating head that has a rocket-propelled head, and you can attach to bodies after their head has been removed by you. Or if it's just already headless, you can attach to the heads. You have a little vacuum on yourself, so you can suck off people's heads and suck off other things. That sounded so horrible. But I really like the visuals are nice. It has a very 70s retro, highly saturated, super colorful nature to it all. A bit of film grain to it, sci-fi, you know, kind of campy nature to it all, which is nice. And it feels really good. I'm playing on PS4. And it's fun to play. That's all I can really say at this point. It's fun to play. The only thing that is disappointing so far is that, coming from Double Fine, I expected the story to be more engaging and also more humorous, but I haven't found anything particularly funny in my few hours with the game. And even beyond that, I haven't been super engaged in the story, which is a little bit disappointing just because of the pedigree of Double Fine. Even though they've made games that haven't had like super hilarious stories in the past or anything, or even, you know, like Trench or whatever, even... I don't know. I just kind of expected a bit more from the story. You know, humor, not just something that was a bit more engaging. And so far, it hasn't done anything for me, really. But it's really fun to play. Controls well. And yeah, I'm looking forward to play more of it. So I'll be talking about more in future episodes, so look forward to that. And then the last few games I want to talk about are a couple games I've been playing on Steam that I've also got codes for. One is called Zombie Night Terror, and this is basically like Lemmings. I've played about a fourth of it, so the first area, and it's fun. I haven't played Lemmings in a long time, so I can't remember that much. I think Zombie Night Terror is more strategic and just that there's more stuff to do. And from what I can remember, Lemmings was really about getting from point A to point B. And Zombie Night Terror is more so about infecting a specific number of humans on each level. And as the levels progress, you have to worry about more hazards in terms of parts of buildings that are crumbling, so your zombies will fall through them. Certain humans having guns or melee weapons, and you can chain certain zombies that turn them into super mutant zombies that kind of, oddly enough, despite being super powered, they're just there to kind of block off the zombies and push them into a different direction. But it takes a bit of thinking, which I like, because at first I played the second level and I was like, wow, it's already super hard, but I just kind of sped through it and I was like, whatever, I'm sure there's not that much to it. And I was wrong. It has a pixel-esque art style, but I'm liking it. I don't love it. It's something that I'm like, this is good. This is well done. I'm kind of tired of the zombie, whatever. I'm just kind of tired of zombies in most cases. But I'll be all over Dead Rising 4 and what the hell is the name of it? State of Decay 2. But it's good. It's a solid game, and I think I can't remember if there have been many Lemmings-esque games in recent memory. So if you're looking for something that is Lemmings-ish, then this is definitely worth checking out. I think it's $20. Let me check that for y'all right now. Pump. No. It is $12.99, currently on sale, 50% off, like launch sale, for the next, well, by the time you listen to this, it'll probably already be over, but $12.99, not a bad price, and I think I maybe have read that there's going to be like a level creator or something coming in future content, which would be super awesome and give it a lot more longevity, because I think if you're someone who just wants to get through levels and doesn't care about completing challenges, because they have challenges like kill all the humans or infect everyone without letting a single zombie die, etc. If you don't care about doing stuff like that, then you may get tired of, not so much get tired of the game, but finish the game in, I don't know, 4 hours or whatever. Some levels take longer, take more thinking, while others are a bit easier to get through. But I definitely would recommend checking it out. And then the last game I want to talk about is Chime Sharp, which is a music game, a music puzzle game, which some of you may remember from Xbox Live. I think it probably came to other platforms as well. I think there was another version as well. And if you don't remember, maybe this will jog your memory, just that the thing about it when it first came out was that either all the proceeds or a good chunk of the proceeds were going to some charity, which was super awesome. And it came out for $5, which I think made a lot of people just say, hey, one, this game is supposed to be pretty good. Two, a good chunk, if not all of it, is going towards a charity. So, and then three, it's $5. So why not, why not just spend that $5? And I did, and I really liked it. So I'm happy to go back to it. And the thing I've come to realize, because this is the first time I've ever played it on PC, is that Chime, the game, feels so much better on a mouse and a keyboard. It's really just a mouse, but it feels so much better. And the way the game works is there's a little bar that's constantly moving from left to right, and it'll once it hits all the way to the right, it'll reset. And you're trying to craft essentially rectangles to like, I think once you hit like 3x3 and then continuously expand upon it,
that will give you points and clear a certain part of the board when that line passes through them. And the shapes are a lot like Tetris shapes. And you just place them anywhere on the board. And you have a time limit as the music is playing. And you're just trying to fill up as much of the board as you can while also making huge chains, keeping a multiplier going. And it's really fun. I don't think I'm super good at the game, but you don't have to be super good at the game to really like it. And you don't have to be super good at the game to unlock all the music. So if you want something that's relaxing with good music, there's stuff like Churches and other bands in it. And it's just a really relaxing, pleasant game with that looks really nice. There's a colorblind mode for people who suffer from that, which is nice. The only thing that would be that I find problematic at times is some of the levels, the color scheme is a bit too similar. All the colors that make it a bit hard to notice. Wait, is that an area I've already cleared? Are those blocks that are still in play? Or are they blocks that are just nothing? That's the only thing that's a bit of an issue. But other than that, I've really enjoyed it. I put like 4 hours in the game. I've unlocked all the levels. I've played a bit of the other modes. There are other modes that are not time-based and more so about just completing an entire level. And you have 10 lives and stuff like that, which you unlock those pretty easily as well. But Time Sharp is a lot of fun. And I'm starting to lose my voice. But Chime Sharp is just a lot of fun, super relaxing, great music, definitely worth checking out. I really enjoyed the game, and I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to play something relaxing and listen to great music while they do it. And that is $15 on Steam as well. Insane Ninja! Shing! And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Snapchats, begrudgingly, where I just really sing to myself and nothing else. The Xbox Lives, my anime lists, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. That is at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am the Kush3. That is the KUSH. The number 3. This site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, and maybe, just maybe, the D&D podcast may still be in the works. So be excited for that if it does happen. But yeah, you can find all the podcasts there, as well as the art I do and the occasional writing. So definitely check all of that out. And if you haven't already, please do go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review all the shows, because it really does help, especially this one. It doesn't especially help this show out more than the others. I'm just saying, if you're only going to take the time to rate and review and subscribe to one show, do it to this one, because this is our flagship podcast. I'm calling it that because it is the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. And I am the sausage boss. But yeah, I hope everyone has had a great week so far. Continues to have a great week. And before I say goodbye for this here episode, I do want to wish a very, very happy birthday for John and Beth's little boy, Declan, who recently turned 2 years old. Happy birthday, little fella. I still have a Duplo set with your name on it. I didn't actually write your name on it, but I'm figuratively writing your name on it. So get on that. Come on. You should be walking, and you should be getting ready and walking a marathon and walking down to Chicago, picking up your Duplo set like a big boy and then walking home. Don't do that. It's horrible. Don't ever do that. Don't listen to this show. Please don't ever listen to this show, John, when Declan is around, because that is like as close to child abuse as you can get. Anyone who lets their child listen to this, you're a terrible parent. Bye bye. Do you like pixelated sausage? Do you like sausage? Do you like pixelation? Do you like it when sausage is pixelated? Do you like this podcast? Do you like Pixelated Radio?
Do you like other things that have pixelated and sausage in the name somewhere? Do you like me? Do you like the other people who work at Pixelated Sausage? Do you like the fact that I said work, even though no one gets paid? Well, if you do like any of that stuff, you can support the site, the podcast, whatever you want, by chipping in a few bucks every month over at patreon.com/pxs. That is, once again, patreon.com/pxs. A few months, yes, a few months a buck really goes a long way, but a few bucks a month goes an even longer way.